All right, here we are, ready to go into our garden. I'm Bethlehem Gimel, and Sabotage is going to put a beautiful beginning to our day. I'm Bethlehem based on the day. Chamor yotzei b'mardaat bizman shikshurabo. A chamor is allowed to go out on Shabbos. This is even in Rosh Hashanah. Even though it's wearing a mardaat, the mardaat is a type of blanket, or the equivalent of a beged to a chamor. But only at such a time that it was tied to the chamor, because if not, there's always the chashash, and maybe if it falls off, you'll come to carry it. We have found now that there's another issue, remember. So far we've discovered two issues now in the dinim avutza behema. One of them is the dinim shvitata behema. You don't do things that are going to cause moloch on Shabbos. But the other one is this gezer that we have, maybe it will fall and end up that the owner will take it out for a little walk in Rosh Hashanah, and then he'll be fired. So that we're also goes there. That's a different dimension of Shvitat Behema. Shvitat Behema
is not the
Raisa. Shvitat Behema is the Raisa, but the question over here is about the love. There's a Shvitah, which is the Laman Yanuach. The question, what is the, there's all kinds of machloksh, and we're showing what the difference is between the love and the Yasei. Whether Mechamer is a Diraisa, or is a Drabon, and whether Hotzah is considered to be a Diraisa for Behema. You know, sometime we mentioned before that the Pnei Yeshua says Hotzah is Bechlal, not a Chiyuv on an animal, because it's only, by definition, the understanding of the location, which the animal doesn't have. The Malach HaGurua doesn't do anything to the object, and therefore it's not. Okay, but this is something we should get into more in the Gemara's about Mechamer, because that's what it's really looking at. But in any event, by the way, we spoke about the idea of the relationship of Mar to death and so on. Here, the Mardat is in fact the equivalent of Boged and Beged for a human. It's the bitterness of knowledge, Mardat, which is it's used very often in very strange ways in the Gemara. So here, Chamor, a relationship to Mardat, is similar to the relationship of Adam's limitations due to physicality, because of the idea of Chamor, so that it now requires things to be done for it. Now, only at a time that it's tied, we'll see that this means tied Erev Shabbat. Zicharim yotzin levuvin. Now, zicharim, you will recall, is a way in which we refer to elim, stags, which is interesting because in English we also view stags as being particularly males. We use a very alpha male kind of attitude as being a stag, and it's absolutely women. The one shot in the Gemara that comes to explain this, because for some reason we're talking about dafke zicharim here, instead of just referring to the species. I mean, it has to have something to do with zicharim. We're going to have a number of different pshatim, but what it turns out in the end of Gemara seems to be most masking to is that levuvin is a play, one of the cute Hebrew play on words. It's not really right to call it play on words, but remember, in Lashon HaKodesh, as Tosfos points out later, words mean what they mean and their opposites. Yeah, very much. Well, it's very very much and their opposites. We talk about to be medashim something. It's either to let the Dutch know, to pour dirt over it, or to clean off its dirt from it, right? There's many words like that in which a word is used to talk about lahashmish, to take root, and to uproot, right? To be mishareish acharat, means to uproot something from there's nothing left. But it also means to insert the plant into it that it takes root. Okay? So this is one of those words. If it's a play of that type of play on words, then levuvin would mean not for lovemaking. Because lavuv would be love making, libatini achoti kala, in which case it's implying that yotzin levuvin would mean a male, in the sense of a stag, would go out with something that prevented from love making, yotzin levuvin. It turns out that the pshat over there would mean, in fact, that they would usually put a leather covering over the genitals to prevent it from impregnating females. So that would be considered like a lavush. Rechelot yotzot shechuzot. That would be the opposite, says the Gemara, where a Rachel has a problem. It's got a fat tail. Now, that fat tail makes it awfully hard for the boys to get what they want because it hangs down low over the female. So what they would do is they would tie the fat tail up to make it more likely to get pregnant, in the case where you want to have the Rachel impregnated. Or kibulot would mean just the opposite, that the fat tail was tied down so that it couldn't be impregnated. Ukivunot, kivunot is where we know that they used to take care of the wool, they'll do this today, and in order to prevent the wool from getting dirty and so on, they would have a covering from birth, and then you get very fine and clean wool. That's kavun. Izim yotzot tsururot. Tsururot refers to tying now the udders, so that there's two purposes in this. Actually, three, as we'll see. Sometimes an udder hangs low, and therefore you get damage on rocks. So they would make a little bra, so to speak, to keep it up. Then the other purpose would be, if the animal was milking, then sometimes it would be so much milk, the milk would be lost. So again, they would make a cup that would be tied on, in which it would collect the milk. But they could also tie tightly the udder so that the animal would stop giving milk in order for it to be able to become pregnant. So, and this, humans do this also. You tie the breast tightly to prevent milk from coming in. So here, we'll see that there's different approaches to what the tzuros are. Is a machlokas tanayim, what type of tzor is mutter? Rabbi Yosi oser bekulan chutz min archilim hakvunot. Rabbi Yosi says all of the things that you're doing here, other than the protection of the wool of the Rachel, is not something that's being done for its purposes directly, and therefore it's considered to be a masui on Shabbat. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the case that you said about Izim is only partially true. The Izim HaYotzot Tzurot, yes, liyabesh, if your intent is to dry out the milk, but not lechalek, not to collect the milk, because then basically what you're doing is you're carrying around a cup to collect milk on Shabbos, which I'm not allowed to do. See, there's another issue, of course, and that is how tightly it's connected. If it's liyabesh, it's tightly connected, in which case it won't fall off when you carry it. If it's not liyabesh, and it's not tightly connected, it may fall off. You could carry it. We'll get into the Gemara. Omar Shmuel, when the Mishnah says that a mardat is mutar for a chamor, that's only if it was kshuralo mi'erev Shabbat. It had to have been tied up onto the chamor before Shabbat, but if not, it's considered to be a maser. Now, there's a number of different issues that are involved here in why it's important that it be from erev Shabbat. And we're going to see that one of our important concerns is that it should not appear as if this animal is being used for business purposes on Shabbos. And so, Mimela, one of the approaches in the Rishonim about the Erev Shabbat is that if you do something on Shabbat itself, it looks like your kavana is, in fact, to take the animal on a trip. Why are you saddling up, so to speak? Something we would call, I know, it's fueling a car. You're saddling up your chamor. Looks like you're about to go on a trip. And therefore, it would be also because of this. And Rashi says later on that if it wasn't kosher in the Erev Shabbos, it doesn't have a din of its baguette. It's like you're trying to put something on it now. Another issue is that you can't really get on a mardat, tie it on properly, unless you lean on the chamor. If you lean on the chamor, then you're being mishtamesh with the Baal Chai. You're not allowed to be mishtamesh with the Baal Chai on Shabbos. Another problem is, the Tosa suggests over here, is that it looks like you're being motzi the mardat. Your intent is to have it carry the mardat somewhere, even if it isn't that it's going for a long distance drive. Okay, again, we're going to be introducing in the subject a lot of different concerns that aren't necessarily directly connected to the question of the masoy of the behemoth. There may be other gezeiros that are involved. So here already, besides masoy of the behemoth, which Rashi in fact focuses on as being the ikar problem, we've spoken about the chashash of a person carrying the rishis around if it falls, and we've introduced now a new chashash of that it looks like it's going to do business, looks like you're going out to the shuk, or it looks like you're wanted to do malach on Shabbos in terms of carrying.
Do any of the korbanot of Shabbos require smicha?
Yeah. It's a whole subject, of course. That's the machlok special on Beit Shammai, that's smicha on Yantep, Hashanah, Mut, and so on. So Omer, when we get to Chagiga, it's a big, big piece of the Masechta. Omer Nachman, Matnitin Amideka. The truth is, the Seif of our Mishnah, a little later on, makes it very clear what Shmuel is saying. It says over there, Inach Hamor Yotzei B'Mardat, Bizman She'inach Shuralo. We have a list of things later on of what an animal cannot be wearing on Shabbat. So one of the things it says is that Hamor should not be taken on Shabbat if it has a Mardat on it that wasn't tied. Now, when you say wasn't tied, what do you mean? You mean it wasn't tied at all? I mean, that's ridiculous. I don't even wish to tell me that. I mean, obviously, it's not tied at all. It's not going to stay on. There's not going to mean that I could walk out with it. The only meaning of that Mishnah would be, meaning the Erev Shabbat. So when the Reisha was Matir going out with the Mardat, it must mean she kshuralo me'erev Shabbat. Exactly what Shmuel was saying. So mechlal dereisha shekshuralo me'erev Shabbat. Shema amina. Tanya amiyachi chamor yotzei b'mardat bizman shekshuralo me'erev Shabbat. See, the Braita says clearly that the kesher is for me'erev Shabbat. V'lo be'ukav, but you can't go out with a saddle on a chamor. Apa pishe kshuralo me'erev Shabbat, even though it was there before Shabbat, because again, that already looks too commercial. So, a mardat, yes. A mardat is like that piece of blanket that they put on it.
So saddle cloth?
No, saddle.
I was talking about it. Mardat itself, sometimes you have a blanket.
A mardat is not kshura to the saddle in any way.
Sometimes
they have a blanket. That's to protect the skin from the saddle, but the kshura. But a mardat on a chamor, the chamor, the Gemara points out later on, is never worn. It's like a saying. Chamor is always chill, even in the summer. So the derech of a chamor is that it goes out always with this beged. All right, so if that's the case, the ukav already is not primarily for warming, and therefore we don't let it wear it, but the mardat is for warming. So even though the ukav is kashur, and therefore there's no problem of carrying it for shutarabim, nonetheless, it's not seen as a direct takshit, noi, or beged for the chamor. It's not directly a surah, and therefore it's considered to be a burden. The ukav also serves to warm it, so it can be wearing yukaf also. Bizman shiku shuralo me'erav Shabbat. Ubelvad shalo yikshorlo masrichim. Ubelvad shalo yikshorlo ritzua tachatz navo. The way in which you tie the ukaf so that it should stay on is that you have a rope that goes around to the back underneath the tail of the chamor, so that when it's going downhill, it doesn't slide. Remember, you used to load it. So basically, you'd be a burden, and you would have what we do in our cars, we call racks. We have racks on the chamor, like the guy over here in the Aroba used to deliver the fuel for Shabbos. That's amazing. So there's a rope that goes around the back of the chamor to prevent sliding when the chamor is heading downhill, as anybody who's had a bad experience using his racks long and wrongly knows about. And there's also the masrichim, which go around the neck of the chamor, so that when it's going up, it doesn't slide down towards its back. So if you put those on, that's very suspicious, because that's done basically the one you're tying racks. So there, it really looks like it's going out to market. And that you're not allowed to do. But as long as you don't tie it on in that way, just tie it on not to fall off of the chamor, then, it says Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, it's just another way of keeping the chamor warm. And it's also not considered to be a masri.
Right, those things are not done to leave an Erev Shabbos.
Even if that was done Erev Shabbos, correct. Boy ne Rav Asi bar Natani Rav Yehiya bar Ash. Mao li ten mardat al gabi chamor bishabbat. How about the mardat, which is really a blanket and keeps it warm, could I put that on Shabbos itself? I understand, I can't go out unless it was there before Shabbos. Fine, I don't want it to go out. It's in my chutzah. I don't intend to go outside with it. I just want it to be warm. So is there a problem in the putting on the mardat, or is the problem only the yitziyah with the mardat if it wasn't kashur me'erev Shabbat? Amar lei mutar. There's no problem in putting on the mardat. Amar lei v'chima bein zeh l'ukav. And why is the mardat then in this issue different than the saddle? Ishtik. So Chiya bar Ashi didn't respond. Now Rav Asi bar Nosson thought that the reason that he didn't respond is because he held that an ukav is also mutar. Let's sit there and argue. You're telling me what's the difference between this and a saddle? Who says there is a difference? I'm going to sit here and play with you. So he kept pressing him and he said, "Now I hope you don't think that an ukav is mutar. I mean that's a bright hitzvah. Ukav shal gabei chamor lo yitzat elenu biyado." If a chamor is wearing an ukav, you're not even allowed to carry the ukav in your chatzer. You have to let it fall off by itself. You can have the chamor walk back and forth to the chatzer until it gets so loose that it falls. So for God's sake, if you're not even allowed to carry it, how should we tell him, you're not even allowed to carry it? So, la niyat mi boy, you certainly can't pick it up and put it on. So how come when it comes to the ukav, the brightness is clearly that you're not allowed to? And when it comes to the mardat, you're telling me it's about the look of chila. I don't get this. So now Rabbi Zera overheard this conversation, and he saw that Rav Asi was misreading Rabbi Barashi. He said, so Rabbi Zera said to him, hey, stop the pressure. Shavke. Kirabe Svirle. The reason he was shows it wasn't because he disagreed with you. He just doesn't agree with your sources. That's the point. He has his source and his Rebbe, which is Rav. You hold that it's usher because Yukav is usher. That's he wasn't going to argue with you. But Lamaisi, you should leave off of him. Shavke. Kirabe Svirle. Yomar Kibar Ashi Yomar Rav. Here we see that the Farish is the one who brings Rav Shita. Tolim Traskal Beima B'Shabbat. You're even allowed to hang a little basket full of feed on the neck of a Beima on Shabbos. Now, I mean, what's the point of that? But is it so difficult for the animal to put its head down and to take the feed from inside a trough? Elamai, it's a convenience. Lamai Yanu, your animal to be happy on Shabbos. Exactly, it's a great onik Shabbos. You put a traskal. So if you're allowed to put a traskal, which is only basically for onik Shabbos, that means that you're matir for the trachim of ta'anuk. So a kavachom l'madak, umma ha'tam b'mishum ta'anuk shorui. You're allowed to put a traskal on, even though it only makes life happier for an animal. So often b'mishum tsar lo koshike. You're putting on a mardat, the mardat keeps the animal warm. So I'm wearing the mardat, you're going to be chilled. So koshikein, it should be mutter. And that's why he said it's mutter when you asked him about putting on a mardat. And let's start asking him from the case of the ukav. Shmuel amar. Shmuel says, well, yes, the mardat indeed is mutar, because there it's real pain if it doesn't have it. Since it's real pain, so memela, this defines, find the same thing by an adam, like a yantar, something that is done to prevent illness, let's say, is considered to be shovel the falada, even though I may not necessarily take a hot shower, but somebody who's sick, if I would press shoulder if we're ill, I would take this medication. So, okay, so that's mutter. Here it's the same idea. It doesn't mean that we're being mutter because it's tzar b'chayim or anything like that. It means that tzar of the behema is more definitive in terms of what is considered to be a malbush that's bottle to it than tzaruk is. Because tzar is the most fundamental thing. So since now it will suffer without its mardahat, that becomes now the way in which we view it to be normative or kamor. Where's the mardahat? Therefore, it's certainly no different than you wearing a pair of pants. Nobody would say to you, you can't wear pants on Shabbos because you're carrying. So now, Shmuel was matir. Okay. Yeah.
So would that connect, and that's also hukah?
No. So Shmuel said, okay, that I'm matir. The Trasko, that's tanu. That I'm not matir. The Trasko is not normal. Usually an animal, you just let the animal graze. But you have to pamper it. So that pampering is not considered to be normative. And therefore, it's considered to be a maser. So Reb Chiya bar Yosef heard.
It's not the same thing as Vedin.
As what? No, Trasko is already something that's carrying around with it.
Yeah, but that's got different food in it. Trasko has.
You could put that in a trough too. You could put good food in a trough. Or you have to put it in a little basket for that it should be carrying around the basket. So it's a tainug. But a tainug is not the way an animal usually walks around. And therefore, it's called a maser. Again, the issue isn't to be matir tanug at Sarah. The issue is what level of a normal usage defines a maser or a dress. So Reb Chiya bar Yosef, who heard that Shmuel said that Trasko was usher, and only Mardak was mutter, went to travel to Shmuel. And he said over, Omer l'shmaitzeh the Rav commanded Shmuel. He repeated to Shmuel Rav's psak about Trasko because of Tanuk. And Shmuel's reaction was, Omer lay, Yehochi Omer Abba, lo yadav mila Shabbat v'lo klum. If that's what he said, then he doesn't know a damn thing about Shabbat. Don't listen to his psak halacha. It's ridiculous. So in other words, to go and define Masui in a way, it's something which is Tanuk, is so outrageous that I won't even talk about it. He's so like Rabbi Zeira, Ashkel Rabbi Yomi by Yefet. The Yati Bikarmalay Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan, Notnim Mardat Agave Gamor B'Shabbat. So when Rabbi Zera came up to Eretz Yisrael, we find often that he discussed the Yonim with Rabbi Yonim Bar Yefet, so he found Rabbi Yonim Bar Yefet quoting Rabbi Yochanan that it's mutter to put a Mardat on a Gamor. Oh, so he's very happy, obviously. Oh, Yasher, oh, I'm so happy, that's great. V'chein Tirgama, Aryoch Bababa. And that's how Aryoch said the din was in Baba. Now, Aryoch, as we mentioned yesterday, is Shmuel. Either because Aryoch is the king of Elazar, as we spoke about yesterday, and Elazar is a remnant. It's interesting here, Rashi doesn't bring that, but Rashi's own pshat in Chulin is that the Aryoch is a reference to Melech Elazar because he doesn't really pass like Shmuel when it comes to Isser. Although it's interesting, in this particular case we do, even though it's Isser, those points out, that's because of Yochanan. Also passes, okay. But anyway, Rashi over here, and probably that's why, by the way. In other words, when we want to talk about Aryoch generally, we talk about a case where we're saying we don't pass them like that. You were saying, can't think of Aryoch, we do pass them like that. So Rashi simply points out that Aryoch is a Lashon of Rex. In other words, we know that the Latin Recha is in Lashon HaKodesh, a fundamental way of referring to Malkus. Av Rech is Dein Abed Malka, as the Targum says, right? So that means that Rex is a Latinization of an older root, Rita, that has to do with Malchus. So Aryoch is great because combination of the lion-like attitude of Malchus, in which he is Sholeit. So Aryoch, the one who is Sholeit on everything, he's the guy that said that in Babel as well. Tosis points out here that this is a reference to a particular Melech, which is the king of Elazar. But he says the only reason that we use Aryoch Melech Elazar is not because of Rashi's pshat, not Isser, but rather because it contains the word Ari. So we like the combination of Ari and Rex, but we wouldn't make it up ourselves. But since we see in the Torah one of the primal Malachim is Aryoch, so we take that word for a title for Shmuel. But anyway, it's strange that you would say that because, I mean, Rav said the same thing. When you say Aryoch, it sounds like, you know, it's part of the fight of Rav and Shmuel. I mean, this was getting bitter. You know, so Rav, I mean, Shmuel was so dismissive of Rav's opinion. You come along now and you say it over. Oh, indeed, the Rebbe Zera said, that's what Shmuel said. Understand, did Rav say differently? Rav also said you could put on the Mardat. As a matter of fact, that was the original source. We started talking about it. It was Rav who said that you could put on the Mardat. So now Shmuel agrees. What do you say? That's the way Shmuel said it. That's because you didn't hear the end of the sentence. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Asks the Gemara, wait a second. I have a Shmuel. I thought Rav Nami on him. Yeah. But he heard the rest of the sentence. So Lashami, the Havi Messiah Bay, Rabbi Yonah Bar Yefet ended with the words, Ve'in Tolin Traskal B'Shabbat. You cannot put on a basket. In other words, he was agreeing entirely with Shmuel that the definition of matzah is in terms of miniyat sa'ar, but not in terms of providing tanur. And that ran against Rav. That's why he said the Tzvinzer Gemar Aryo Dafka and not Rav. Anyway, bottom line is,
does it make a difference if you normally do that in the during the week to give him a batch of adam or not?
No, I mean, unless it became in one place, maybe the tariff or something like that. Anyway, it comes out now, you're saying, that everybody seems to be agreed on this issue, right? So the kuleyam on yet margat mutar. It turns out that the conversation that we originally had when Rav Asi bar Natan asked Rav Chiya bar Rav, Rav Chiya bar Ashi actually is quicker, so, are you allowed to put a margat? And he said yes, and he got all upset, and he said, what's the difference between this and a yukra? You know, and then he starts pressing it. And then we went off the topic. He says, what do you care? Rob says it's mutter. Okay, but we never dealt with the issue. What, Lamai said, what is the difference? In other words, he's telling me that my dad is mutar. Rabatsi was left before the question, so what's the difference? We never got to the bottom of that. So my shnami ukaf, indeed, what is the difference? I mean, the ukaf, you're not even allowed to move about on Shabbos. So to the koshkin, you're not allowed to put it on. Now, how do you explain that? No, shine hatam, the efshir, the nafya. Look, I mean, that's different. Since you don't have to handle the ukaf, therefore, the ukaf remains also, because you can just have it walk back and forth and the ukaf will fall off. This is how Rashi lives. Now, I mean, this is very, very disturbing, because that wasn't our question about how to get it off. Our question was putting it on. So why are we talking about that? It would be enough for Mamela. Because of that, many Rishonim disagree with Rashi, and they understand that the question here is not the question that Rav Asi bar Natan asked before, because we've already begun to establish very well in the minds of anyone who's listened now that a mardat is considered to be the normal way of warming an animal, and therefore it's going to be expressed. For somebody to suddenly come along now and say, my shlomi ukaf, it's a silly question at this point. Understand why it's different than ukaf. We wouldn't be going back to that. Therefore, Taina is run among many other Rishonim, that the Gemara now has a different question. If we're agreed that sar is something that we're matir, and that becomes not a normal way to, so why are we not allowed to remove the ukaf? Doesn't it have sar from standing on the animal? You're saying that you do the things that are normal for sar. Now, Rashi doesn't like this pshat, because Rashi understands the issue of sar is only there to define what is considered to be a beggar. It's not a factor in determining how to treat the animal on Shabbos. So the fact that we can remove something for heat would have nothing to do with what about, did I ever tell you could do the slightest issue because of a tzar? No. So what are you asking me? Why am I allowed to put on a mardat and not allowed to remove the ukaf? What's the connection between the two? So if you're learning that the sugya indeed takes into consideration what level of zera we would have made about the possibility of a tzar in an animal, and we would take into consideration the tzar of the animal, so then if you're matir dressing it with a mardat, why aren't you matir undressing it with an ukaf? To which the Gemara answers, because an ukaf, you can have it, if an ukaf is heavy, you move the animal about, and it shifts a little bit. When it shifts, it falls off. It's top heavy. There's not a problem. So, Mimela, why should we be matir since there's another eitzah? Walk back and forth until it falls off. That's how they understand me.
You should have tied it.
Well, I mean, loosely.
Was this the case that it was ready to hook up before Shabbos, I presume?
Whatever the case is, and obviously it's got it out, we can't do Isurim on it, but the question over here is the tiltal of the mutz is our problem. Rav Papa says, I'll tell you very simply, kama kamama, kama tsanana. There is no tzar involved. Because, look, to warm up an animal, yes, the kamama eats like tzara. The tsanana, that's like tzara. A chamor never has tzar for being too hot. Because even if it's too hot, it has a capability of so rapidly losing its heat that it chills itself. A chamor is always cold, even in the middle of the hottest day of the summer. So therefore, why would we say that it's considered to be a normal behavior to undress a chamor? To undress a chamor is never necessary. I told you over that great joke that Rick Silver made. Nobody ever got it. And this is finally the marker on the Gemara. I love that joke. I tell everybody, it looks at me like I'm crazy when I say it over. That was brilliant. Say it again and make an ass of myself. I'll try it one more time now that we're holding the circuit. He used to bump into this reform rabbi in Cincinnati all the time. He would take a walk in the morning. Anybody who remembers the Blazer Silver will remember that he always wore a heavy coat. That was his mode of dress. It didn't matter what the temperature was. So here it was a warm day. And he meets this rabbi, the Reform Seminary, And the rabbi looks at him and says, "Nu, chamra, feel a bit good for the Thomas Karirale," calling him a chamor. "What are you wearing on my back in the middle of the summer?" So he says to the reform rabbi, and this is where everybody breaks down my trouble. He says to him, "Did you ever think why that's true? The reason that it's true is because a chamor goes outside, looks at the calendar, and says, ah, it's summer. It must be that it's warm. The fact that it happens to be a cold day doesn't interest him, because an idiot thinks it's summer, it has to be warm. So he gets cold because he doesn't wear his clothing." It's like the old elephant show. Nobody gets it. He was telling the guy, "It's freezing out here. You think because it says on the calendar it's June 24th, so the mail must be warm. So you're walking around without clothes. The chamor is cold." Okay. I would never again believe that.
It's fine. You just have to pause a second. Let you know how to rewind.
I said, believe it. Nice. Lo yetze hasus bizanat shumal. They still do. It's very interesting. People still put on their horses or their horseless carriages, as the case may be, rabbit foot and rabbit tails or so on. They used to use fox tails. So they would have a fox tail, and they would put a fox tail on the sus as a sign of good luck. It's interesting that the tail is good luck charming. Velo bizahru rich beninav. These are these pretty ribbons that you use to make your horse look more dashing. Lo yetze hazav bekitz shelo, which we had a whole discussion before about it. So you know what's considered to be a burden, the gabi an odom, where he's not interested in the actual clothing, so a kitz is just there to gather simonim of zivos, doesn't really act as a beggar. Velo izim bekitz shebedadehem, to collect the milk. Velo pora bechasum shebepia. Sometimes you put a muzzle on a pora so that it shouldn't eat as it walks by other people's places. Then you take it off and get the place where it's going. Velo sayachim v'tras kalim shebepiem l'shebrabim. Nor should the ponies be wearing their basket when they go out. Velo behema b'sandal shebraglea. A behema should not be wearing its shoes to protect it from, like a horseshoe kind of thing, except that this was removable, to protect it from pebbles and things like that. Velo bekamia. Nor should this behema, even though it voted shas, it should not walk out wearing its kamiya on Shabbos to protect it, to make it better.
What's a
kamiya? A kamiya is a charm, a good luck charm, an amulet, yeah. Hapapishu mumcheh, even though this kamiya has proven its worth and has cured people in the past. Vizol chomer bebehema bibahadam, and this means that we treat an animal with greater chomer than an adam. Now, ostensibly, this means that an adam who votes shas is allowed to wear a kamiya on Shabbos, but a behemoth of Ochas is not. Later on, the Gemara will ask about this, yeah. But that's what we're assuming it means. Abo yotzeyu v'agacha gavei hamaka. An animal can go out wearing a bandage. Even if it falls off, you're not going to carry it through the air. Ubekishishin chagavei hashever. Or, if the animal is walking on crutches, you know, you can walk on its crutches. Actually, kishishin is two splints that you put on a brake in a bone. Ubeshilya medudelet. And also if it's afterbirth is half in and half out, and it's, that is not considered to be carrying. Upokakin lazuk shpitzavara. You can also stuff up the bell around its neck, and it can still wear it, and since it's not ringing, it doesn't look like it's being taken to market. And mitayamadimo b'chatzer, as long as you don't go out, you're in the chatzer, not Mishra Sarabim. If you go in Mishra Sarabim, then it looks very suspicious wearing its bell, looks like it's on its way to market. But anyway, katani miat, what's important for our purposes, is just that phrase. The lo sayachim b'tras kalim shlifim Mishra Sarabim. What's it say over there? They cannot wear their baskets when they're going out into the Rishut Rabim. And why? So it's only Rishut Rabim with the law. Of a chatzer shaper done. You're telling me that in a chatzer, it would be okay for them to have a traska, okay? When I asked you before whether you're allowed to put on a mardad on Shabbat, clearly we weren't talking about Rishut Rabim. Because we've already established the mission that a mardad can only be worn, was put on before Shabbat. So my question, my original question, the whole discussion we've had on this topic, was limited to cases where an animal is in a chatzer, not going out Rishut Rabim. When you assert traska, Shmuel, you assert a traska, meaning even in a chatzer. So that whatever the reason is, and there's many possibilities, the relearns the reason is all through these issues is because of unnecessary tircha and shabbat. Okay, fine. It's a possibility. Maybe you'll go out with it. It's another possibility. Looks like you're preparing for business. Another possibility. But whatever the answer is, it says over here, you can wear a traska. Only to reserve a rabbi, you can't go out. Fine, I understand. We're more machber in Yitzhak. Maybe because it's more of a masri. Maybe because it looks more like you're on your way for a trip. Whatever the reason is. I always accepted Rosh Hashanah rabbi is more common. But mashma, hobachatzer shabbat dummy, correct? Now, shall we not assume that the case over here is also gedolim umishum ta'anu? We're talking about well-grown ponies that would have no problem in eating, other than it's they have to bend, right? They have to bend. So this is a tanuk that it makes life a little easier. So think, well, no, it's actually talking about ketanim. The ketanim, surprisingly, remember the ketanim have very long legs. Pony comes out a long way, but it's got a short neck, and therefore it's more difficult for it to be bending. It's even possible that the lashon of sayach comes from lasuach, which is they're always looking like they're bending. It's very difficult to get things off of the ground. But in any event, whether that's true or not, the lasuach for them is a real tsar, their ketanim. And mishum tsar, mamish, we remind you. Because we said before you could put the mandat on because of the tsar. The only reason that Shmuel was chalak on the traskel, because with the traskel was for tanuk. This is the same tanuk, it's not considered to be a way to deal with the animal on Shabbos. So here we're talking about the ketanim mishum tsar. By the way, I'm not just saying this. Deikanami, if you take a look clearly, you'll see that I'm right. Because look at the context in which the case is brought. The ketani, dumia de kamiya. Why does this appear together with a list that includes wearing a kamiya? If it's wearing a kamiya, obviously this animal is not feeling too well, right? That's why an animal wears a kamiya, so secure it. So what we're talking about here in the later part of this list are things that are done in order to prevent headaches or bending too much. So there Shmuel would agree, you can't ask a kasha. By the way, I'm not marvel. You're telling me you can't wear a kamiya, even though the kamiya has already gone through laboratory testing. It's been found to be effective in 97% of cases. Patients recover within 2 weeks after wearing this kamiya. Of course, they would have recovered just as fast without the kamiya, but that's not the point. The point is that it's been laboratory tested.
You know when that voice has a headache.
See, we're talking to a city boy here. But doesn't it say beferush later on in the end of the Mishnah, in the list of things that an animal cannot go out wearing, it says Veloba Kamiya Sha'inom can't go out with a non-Rav Kaduri type Kamiya, but it can certainly go out with a well proven Kamiya. And that you just said it can't go out with a Kamiya even when it's already gone through its testing, right? And he said that's a mere very clearly on Mumcha Shapidami. If it was well proven, then it would be okay. No, here, of course, in this Bryce is talking about where it's a kamiya that's not a mumcha. Oh, that's really interesting, because it says, even though it is a mumcha, but I guess in your terminology, that means when it's not a mumcha. No, let's not be sarcastic. Mumcha la'adam, they know mumcha la'bayma. It is a kamiya mumcha. What it means is it definitely cures people. You know about these laboratory testing, which they assumed that they could do cross-species testing. So since this has been found effective for mice, and clearly it's in all the health magazines in the next week, mice said this cures cancer. Mice, therefore, this is the new big thing.
This is the opposite.
Of course, it's dead. It's just the opposite. So something cures people, therefore, it's bound to cure horses.
Not tested on animals.
That's brilliant. That's a whole new way of living. That's gorgeous. So, katzani mumcha la'adam. So they're talking about mumcha la'adam, not mumcha la'adam. What, is there such a thing? I mean, I know they do in the other way. They say if you test it on rats, it doesn't prove anything about people. But, I mean, I thought once it's good for people, for sure it's good for rats, no? So, mihika mumcha la'adam alohabi mumcha la'beim, huh? You go, yes, on the contrary. Adam, the itle mazla misayyele. Beimah, the letle mazla lo misayyele. A human being is actually more difficult to get rid of than an animal. So he has all types of kochos of recovery, which are called mazla, which means that something that works for an adam does not necessarily work for an animal. I mean, take a look at the placebo effect. It's very hard to get a placebo effect on an animal. Seriously. And that means that there's a profound relationship of an adam of himself to his illness, which is completely lacking in a behemoth. Therefore, a kamiya that will work on an adam does not necessarily have any meaning to an animal. So Ihochi, wait. So if that's the case, then it isn't true to say Zechomer Bebeima Biba'adam, because it's only because it doesn't work? No, you're telling me if it would have been a Kamiya Mumcha for the animal, would have had the same halacha as the Kamiya Mumcha for another. So then it has nothing to do with Chomer. It has to do with whether it's effective, that's all. So how do you explain those words? So then why does it say my Zechomer Bebeima Biba'adam? No. What do you think? That those words were referring to the thing about the kamiya? Those things were referring to the sandal. Can a human being walk out with a shoe? So why should an animal be allowed to walk out with a shoe for its sensitive hooves? It's a chumra. Okay. And the gemara indeed is exactly the same. Assuming it works, you go with it.
I've never heard of removable shoes for animals.
That's why the Jews stopped using it, because then they couldn't put them on in Shabbos. Tashma.
The whole world had to suffer
for it. Listen, Bishvili Nira Olam, Bishvili Yisrael, Shmei Kravashis. Tashma. Sachin mefarchasin la'adam. Ve'ein sachin mefarchasin la'behima. Now let's think about this. You're allowed to pour oil and rub in the oil into an adam, but you can't do the same for an animal. Now, isn't this even my law to eat the maka umishum tsar? So this apparently means that even though there's some kind of problem, the animal's got scratched, now you're trying to make it feel better, remove maybe the last bits of the scab. So it apparently even mishum tsar says, no, go mar maka mishum tainu. Talking about that the wound is already healed, you're now trying to get this animal to feel better. So a human, you can do that on. An animal, you can't. An animal that has sunstroke, you cannot put it under water on Shabbos in order to cool it off. Whereas an adam she'achas adam, a human, however, you can put a human into water on Shabbos, even though you would say, oh, isn't this a refuah? But there's no problem of doing that for the person. Even if it's pikuach nefesh, it should be no problem. But even where it's not, it's still aser. It's mutter for the person and aser for the baby, even where it is. So amar ula gzera mishum shvikat samamanim. The problem over here is that it's a gzera because of all refuah, which are gzera. Maybe you'll make medications on Shabbat. Ihach yadam nami. So then, assuming that there's no pikuach nefesh, why are you allowed to cool a person off? No, adam yirakamekar. Adam looks like he's cooling off. No, so then the behemoth also looks like he's cooling off. Why can't we say that your cow wanted to go for a swim? Why is anybody going to think that it's a refuah? Because cows don't go for swims. In mekar le behemoth, okay?
Like they go on with someone.
Yeah, they don't go for swimming.
Mekar means
to cool off in the water. They don't do that. There's a beautiful description, by the way, of such a thing in one of Harriet's cases, James Harriet. Talks about a horse that was desperately had sunstroke. Temperature was 109 degrees, was it? And it talks about like how they chilled them off, and an incredible time it was. You know, it's trying to get more and more of that, you know, that cold water pouring over me. V'atani, I tell Meret Chutzotchum. So anyway, so Beinam Yigazrina, are we in fact gozer in a case where you are going to lose? But this is now, this animal may die from this. So we make a gzera, even though you may end up at a hefzer of your Beinam. What about a case where an animal was standing Chutzotchum? You can't go get the animal. Korela liba, you could still call the animal to come to you. We're not gozer that maybe you'll go chutzutchum, you'll go bring your animal. Why not? Normally you're not allowed to do this. But in order to avoid the hefset of your animal, the animal will wander away. You won't be able now to get it. So we say, so it's okay to call it back in. So apparently for a hefset, we're not gozer. So why are we gozer? We got samamanim. Omer Ravina, you misunderstand the case. The case is not that it's outside of your tchum. The case is that it's outside of her tchum. Because when an animal is given over to a shepherd, it takes on the tchum of the shepherd. It's like chafetzim, take on the tchum of the owner. Now the problem is, it's wandering away. You want the animal to come towards you. To take it into your tchum, which is outside of the animal's tchum, you're not allowed to do it. You cannot take things that are in a different tchum into your tchum. To call it and let it come by itself, you're not mitzvah on the tchum of an animal. Even if you're mitzvah malach. Therefore, you're allowed to call it, but we're talking about a case where there would be no problem for you, because shayah tchum shalom muvela mitoch tchum shalom. You could have an overlapping of tchumim. So let's say, in other words, we have a block in which both of us are allowed to walk. There, even though I can't now take it out of her own tchum, I can call her out of her tchum to follow me, and that's not a problem. There's no gezera on me, because I wouldn't be going out of my tchum anyway. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar, the fact is that you're assuming that everybody agrees. But shikat sanamanim gufatanai, it's actually a machloka whether there is a gezera of animal medicine on Shabbat in a case where this hefset. The Tanya, beimash achla karshini, an animal who overate these vetches, so it gets impacted. And the only thing you can do is you make it run. And when it runs, it loosens its bowels. And so lo yiritzena b'chatzer b'shvishti drape. You cannot force it to run around in order for it to get well. And Rav Moshe is matir. So you see the Reb Hoshaya doesn't hold that there's a gzerah of shvikat saramanim. In which case, ein hachinami, you can't ask. Even if the case of Tchumen would have involved, possibly, an isra, a gzerah, but maybe Mishum half said we wouldn't have been gozer. Dorash Rava, Alokak Reb Hoshaya. We're not gozer in a case of hefsed of your animal. Omar Ma, is this going to be a standard problem that you need to get out? Because then I'm going to have to go faster. That's what you said yesterday when it was Thursday. Okay. Omar, lo yitze azav bekish shelo velo yizim bekish shebedadehem. Now, Tanya Yotso, do yizim bekish shebedadehem? I thought it says in a braita that you're allowed to take out those yizim wearing a bra, basically. Om Rav Yehuda lo kasha. How do mehadek? How do lo mehadek? Depends how tight it is. Says, but just, I understand what's wrong with you guys. But you forgot the Mishnah. Tanoi shakal to me, what'd you do? You picked up the Tanoi and threw him out of the window into some other universe. Tanoi! Titznana yizim yotso tsrorot. Rav Yehuda yotso bekulam chutzim an arechot al akvunot. Rav Yehuda Omer Izim Yotzot Zerot only liyabesh avalole chaleitz. What do you understand? Clearly, there's a machlokas about how much we allow the kishiv adayin. Well, you know what? Maybe it's not even machlokas. It could be both is going on according to Rav Yehuda. When you said you're not allowed to go, it means you're not allowed to go to be made for chalav. Where it says you are allowed to go, it's talking about liyabesh, where it's tied tightly. Tanya Omer Rav Yehuda Maaseh Izim Bebeit Antukia. There's a whole other issue that's involved. That these were the Yizim of Beit Antukia that had so much milk. They made a covering for the udder in order to prevent damage for their nipples. That's interesting. Again, also, he's got a lot of cases like this. I told you, you can learn a lot of veterinary issues in the Gemara from the James Harriet thing. You want illustrations? He's got mamish fantastic stories about these kind of things. Mamish is all straight out of the room. Tell me about a maaseh be'achad shemeita ishto. There was once a maaseh of a guy whose wife died and left him a child. And he is a ben linak, and he had to nurse the child. Lo haya lo schar menikah. He did not have enough money to pay for a meneket. V'naaseh lo neis, and a miracle happened. V'niftechu lo dadin kishvei dadei isha. His own breasts grew like two female breasts, and he went and was made a kisan.
What? He could have gotten this alternative in Shabbat and money to pay for it.
We'll see. By the way, Moshe Berger, who's a doctor, a painter, used to be in Daf Yomi, lived in Roma. He says that on the refugee trip after the war from Romania, what happens is there were a lot of orphans. Children, babies that have been saved. And many of the men nursed the babies. And he was absolutely shocked by this, especially as a doctor. And he researched it afterwards. And it turns out that testosterone actually prevents the hormonal changes in a breast that would allow a male to nurse. But estrogen, which is present in males, is restored more rapidly in cases of malnutrition and starvation. So that these men, when they were stimulated because of the need for nursing, in this case over here, the hormonal estrogen was stimulated by the sense of care. The whole female element, and it was common. It was like the strangest thing. That they could actually nurse.
That's
only later on, when they restored their own hormonal levels, they became more male-like.
They got the hot medium tribe from the war.
No, it just happened. This is like the craziest thing. I mean, he's worked on seeing it himself.
Malnutrition
suppressed the testosterone.
But not estrogen.
Not as much. When they started, it came back. It became more dramatic. It was amazing. Amazing. But anyway, so it says Rabbi Yosef, take a look. What, this guy must be a great man. Such a miracle. What kind of horrible person is this? That the whole Seder Bereishit has to be changed for him. That is the only way he can get along in life. Rabbi Yehuda makes Scott's point. Take a look how difficult it is to make a parnas. It's easier for God to change nature. But a guy should make a living, forget about it. That's already beyond. Rav Nachman says, I understand. That's obvious. Mizrakish needs some miracles happen day in and day out. Below you from his owner. Did you ever see anybody making any money miraculously? Yeah, in other words, you don't walk into your house and suddenly find you know, piles of money or grain in your home that you didn't.
Other miracles in life.
Other miracles we expect, but that's one miracle that doesn't happen. So apparently it's a riot because she was on the
first. That's only after the curse.
This is beautiful. It's so beautiful. Don't have one. It was a mice of a guy who married a woman who had no arm. Although he never knew that she was a gidemet until she died. Well, this woman was really zanua. That is, her husband never found out. What's that prove? Obviously, she doesn't want to find out. That proves that she's zanua. Take a look at this guy. If she walked around all the time like this, I mean, he wasn't gonna press, you know. So he never found out that she didn't have an arm.
With her hands covered.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a new one. I'm not gonna press. So he never knew that she was a gidemet. So Charim Yotzim Levuvim. Now, Levuvim clearly has this sense of being close together, right? From heart. So what does it mean? My Levuvim, I'm Ravuna Tutri. It means Tutri is two tray. In other words, two twos. That is to say, we tie them together so they can't escape very quickly, because one is pulling one way, one is pulling the other way. That's a very good way to take good care of your animals, because they'll never get together on which direction to go. So they're not going to run away. It's hard enough when you put kids together in that little game where you tie them together and they both have to hop to the end, right? It's a lot of fun. But it's almost impossible because two people can't coordinate properly. So if you don't want your animals to run away, you tie them together. So my mashman, I levuvim lishta dekruve. Where do we see that levuvim means to be close? If they believe about tini, apoti kalev. You see, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Kodesh, so we are close. We are in love. Ula amar. This means lave. It's also lave, not close. It's orsh kashrum kenegad libam. Especially lo yiplo aleihem ze'edim. So you would cover with like a thick piece of leather to protect them from wolves. So that because wolves would try to grab them in the soft part, the underbelly, around their hearts, and you want to protect that area. And so it's called levuvim. Wait a minute. Why would the wolves only attack the males? I mean, why are you calling these zicharim? Zeivim zicharim nafli, and kevot no nafli. No, but that's because the zicharim always walk first. The mask bereish idra. So the wolf sees the males up front. Wolves only attack in the front, they don't attack the stragglers, that's ridiculous. No, let me show them the shimani. These zecharim are nice and fat. Oh, and none of the girls are fat, huh? When they came out like us, you know what, they're all on such good diets. I mean, come on. The two, besides, how the heck do the wolves know the difference between the boys and the girls? I mean, come on, me, everything, honey, what do they know? Ela mishum de zakmech with mayu umazgu kidavu. The point is that the males look aggressive. The females walk and they keep their heads down. The males are constantly looking, they look right at you, and they're the ones that are in charge of the eater. And they have an aggressive stance, they keep their heads up. The wolves take that as a challenge, as many animals do. And they tell you if you meet an animal, it's very important to keep your eyes away, don't make eye contact, put your head down, that you should humble yourself, so to speak, and they don't view you as an aggressor. If you're coming at them and staring, then you're an aggressor. So they become now themselves aggressors. Okay, so they look at these males as being chutzpahdik, and therefore they go and they attack them. Whereas we're not, my Yitzchak is very simple. It's Orsh Koshrim and Tachat Zachutan. Kidei Shelo Yalol and Kevod. What you do over here is we reverse the meaning of Levuvin and we use it as anti-love making. So this means that you put a piece of leather to prevent them from impregnating the Kevod. And that way you won't have problems with the nursing and so on and so forth. You might. And I prove it to you, because you take a look at the Seifa. Seifa is clearly talking about reproduction. Because there's the Rechalim, the females, Yotzot Shechuzot. What does Shechuzot mean? Shechuzot means She'ochazim al yashalem lamala. It means that the fat tail is tied up. To make it easier for the males to impregnate them. So if that's the meaning of Shechuzot, then the Levuvot in the Reisha would mean the same type of thing. And it's something to do with reproduction. So the Reisha is Kedesh lo yalu alam v'kevot. So the ratio is not two. The safest two. Kedei she'yalu aleihem zecharim. My mash b'ai shechuzot lo shema degibuyu. And what makes you say that's the meaning of shechuz? Because those letters always have a sexual connotation in Hebrew. To say hinei isha v'krato shit zona. Shit zona is a pretty filthy language. Shit is basically a same way we use in English. There's something not nice about that combination for some reason. So shit in Hebrew refers to it's a cheap word for the female genitalia. So shit zonar, you can imagine the English expression. When it's surat lev, so shachuz has in it that feeling, shat and za. So it's shit zonar, in the sense that it's a notrichum for something that means sexual exposure. In which case, shechuzot means sexually exposed, levuvin would then mean the opposite, preventing lovemaking. Right? Interesting.
Oh, this
here's where Tosfos comes in about the use of the word in the opposite sense. Mm-hmm. I personally would have made another suggestion. I mean, not that it's okay for Tosfos' point, but the difference between shachuz and lavuv is very dramatic. In the correct sense, shachuz is low class, lavuv is very high class. Where shachuz is just pure mechanical sexuality, so it's like a pornographic word, whereas lavuv is a romantic word. Livavtini, where shachuzot is disgusting. So the difference between a lavuv and a shachuz is that the lavuv would not be able to engage in pure shitzona. It also implies a condom kind of thing. It was, the lavuv element. It's like today we refer to condoms as lovemaking, like they'll use a euphemism. It's not necessarily a euphemism. In the sense of, let's keep reproduction out of this. That's not the issue. It's not the mechanic. It's the lovemaking. Maybe that's the point. Okay? Wasn't that fun? Despite the fact that nobody's around to hear it.
Ibamardat bizman nashik shurabo. Zecharim yotzim levuvim. Rechelot yotzot shechuzot. כבולות וכבונות, העיזים יוצאות צרורות, רבי יוסי אוסר, וכולן חוץ מן הרחלים הכבונות. רבי יהודה אומר, עיזים יוצאות צרורות ליבש, אבל לא לחלק. אומר שמואלו שקשורה לו מערב שבת, אומר, אנחנו מתניסים נמי תקד, קטני, אין הכמור יוצא במרדת בזמן שאינה קשורה, זה יחידוני. אילא אם שאינו קשורה לו כלום, נו, אמשיתא, דמנף ליבת ולטויה. אלא לב שאינה קשורה מערב שבת, זה מי. Before the Reisha, that is Kshurla, means Kshurla Merv Shabbat, Shmamina. Tana Amiyachi, Chomor Yotzi B'mardat, Bizman Shekshurla Lo Merv Shabbat, V'lo B'Ukaf, Apapi Shekshurla Lo Merv Shabbat. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, no, an Ukaf also can warm up Bizman Shekshurla Lo Merv Shabbat, Smuter, Bilvad Shelo Yikshurlo Masrechin, Bilvad Shelo Yivsholo Ritzua Tachatz Navo, which looks a bit too commercial. Boy Mine Rabasi Barnatan, Rekhir Barashi. Mali came Mardat Agabi Chamor b'Shabbat in a chotzer. Forget about the chotzer. Only mutar. Mabin zelo ukaf ishti. Eitri ukaf shagabi chamor lo yitatana v'yadam. Ala molichom v'yab chatzer v'nofel me'ela. I'm sure you're not going to disagree with the bride. Hashem yidol amret lo olam. Yeah, me boy. Omer zel. Hey, shavke. Christ, really. Lom l'pia barashem arach. Tolim traskel v'yadam b'Shabbat. Nu. So for Trasko, Kav v'chom l'mardat, ma'at abdi mishum ta'am nukshari, hochi mishum tsa'ar, lo kol shikim. Shmuel omar, the mardat part is, I agree, it's mutter. Trasko l'asu, also Rebchia bar Yosef, Ramon Shmaitz, Rav, Kamedi Shmuel, I'm like, oh man, yachi omar abba lo yadav amil shabbat v'lo klum. Ki solik Rebbe Zera Ashkechel, Rebbe Nyama bar Yefet, the yachi v'chomel l'shmeid Rebbe Yochanan, noti mardat agabe chamor b'shabbat. I'm like, oh, yasher, V'chein tirgim ha'ariyoch bebaba. Now, ha'ariyoch ma'anu shmuel. But Rav Nami omra. But shamed avim b'sayim bey. V'ein tolim trasko b'shabbat. That, he says, yasher, v'chein tirgim ha'ariyoch bebaba. But anyway, kulei amam yed mardad is mutar. Ma'i shlami yuka. Shani atam defshid enough on the mail. Rupapa ma, kam v'cham ma, kam v'tsanana. Lechamama, Yitzara, Litzanana, Litzara, Vahina Dami in shape. Chamra, fill with Kuvna Thomas Kavirale. Maitre, Loyetse Asus, Biznav Shual, Velo Bizahu Ririt Shabin Inna, Loyetse Azav Bekishalo, Velo Yizim Bekishabadayan, Velo Pora Bechasum Shabafia, Velo Sayachim Betraskalim Shabafiam, the Rishatarabi, Velo Beima Besandal Shabaraglea, ולא בקמיה, אף הפי שהוא מומחה, וזו חומר בבימה מבעוד. אבל יצאו באגד שאגבי המכה, ובקשישים שאגבי השבר, ובשליה המדודלת בה, ופוקקים לזוג בצברה ומטיילת עמו בחצר. Anyway, קטן ימיד ולא צייכים את רסקמים שבבים לרשות הרבים. Meaning, only לרשות הרבים עוד הלום, אבל בחצר שאפר דומי. I thought according to שמול הצעסם, היום בחצר? No, not love big dolin. And the whole point is that time of his mutter. No, biktani. Umishum tsar. The economic biktani. Dumya de kamiya. Shvami. Oh. Umar marvelo de kamiya. Apa pishum mumcha. Ivan, I'm fine. Lobe Kriya Shaina Mumcha. Mumcha Shapadami. So, no. It's me here to mean Shaina Mumcha. What do you mean? It says Afapishu Mumcha Katani. Means Mumcha Vadam. But it's Eno Mumcha Labema. Such a thing? Mika Mumcha Ladam, Allah Mumcha Labema, certainly. Adam Dite Mazla Misayele. They Mazla Te Mazla Misayele. So, Yachi Mazek Homer Bibema Biba Adam. No, Misavata Kamiya Koi. Asando Koi. Toshma. Sochinu mefarkasim la'adam, ve'in sochinu mefarkasim la'beima. Now, my love, di'ika baka, umishun tsar. No, ve'gomar maka, umishun ta'anuk. Toshma, be'ima shachas adam, ein ma'amidim ota b'mayim b'shvush titztanim. Adam shachas adam, ma'amidim ota b'mayim b'shvush titztanim. Omaru la'gzera b'shum shachikat sanamanim. Sveni, ochi adam nami, adam nira kemeka. So Yachal Beima Nami Nira Kamega, Ein Mekar Lebeima. Lebeima Migazvina. V'atani Haita Omeret Chutzutchum, Korei La V'Yiba'a. V'lo Gazvina Yomati La Tuyen, Om Ravina, that's where Tchum Shalom Muvla B'to Tchum Shalom. V'nach Rav Yitzchak, Sashchika Tzamamoni Mitzav Zetanoi, V'atani Beima Sh'achla Kashini, Lo Yiritzena B'chatzer B'shvosh Titratei, V'raboshi Aya Matir, Dorash Rav Ha'aloch HaKrabi Yoshaniya. Omar lo yetzi azav b'kishlo v'do yizim b'kishpad adayim v'atan yotzot yizim b'kishpad adayim. Omar v'yod alo kasha adam adekot lo madekot. Yosef omar, what? Tanoi shakalta mi omar. Tanoi yid, it's not. A yizim yatzot srurot, Rabbi Yosi oser b'chulam, chutzim na rechilot akfunot, Rabbi Yod omar yizim yatzot srurot, only v'yabesh, avlo lechalei. So fine, maybe it's makhlo v'stanoi. Or you know what? Maybe it's both Rabbi Yod alo kasha. Kan liyabesh, kan lechalei. Tanoi omar v'yod. מעשה בעיזים בבית אנטוקיה שהיו דדיהם גסים ועשו להם טיסים כדי שלא יצרטו דדיהם. תן רבונן, מעשה באחד שמיתה אשתו והניחה בן לינק ולא היה לו שכר מנקס. נעשה לו מס ונצחו לו דדים כשני דדי אישה ואין נקס בנו. אומר רבי יוסי, בואו ראה כמה גודל עוד מזה שמעשה לו נס כזה. אומר רבי עד רבה, כמה גרוע עוד מזה שנשתנו לו סדרי בראשית. אומר רבי יהודה, בוא ראה כמה קשים מזונותיו של אדם שנשתלו עליו סדרי בראשית. אומר נחמן תדא דמצרך יש ניסה ולא עברי מזונים. תנו רבנן, מעשה באדם אחד שנשא אישה גידי מת ולא הכיר בה עד יום מותה. אומר רב, בוא ראה כמה צנוע איש הזו שלא הכיר בה בעלה. אומר לו רבי יחי, אבל זו דרכה בכך. וכמה צנוע אדם זה שלא הכיר באשתו. זכרים יוצאים לבובים. מהי לבובים? אומר רבו לטוטרי. My marshal will be in which the crew is lifted, libatini akotikala, ulomar, or shikoshim, and connectedly bam, they shall yiplo alem ze evim, what, ze evim as a chorim naple, on the cave of lo naple. No, it's we should demask bereshi, what, ze evim bereshi do naple, besofid lo naple, and we should the shmeni, what, and the cave is like a shmeni. Besides which, how does the move know the difference? Miyadi ben ani lahane, and we should desak the chotamayo maske ki davu. נח ביצק אומר, אור שקושרים להם תחת זכותם, כדי שלא יעלו על הנקבות. ממאי? מלקטני ספר, רחלים יצות שחוזות. זה מאי שחוזות? שאוחזים העניין שלנו למעלה, כדי שיעלו עליהם זכרים. In which case, ראש עוצות, כדי שלא יעלו על הנקבות. וספר, כדי שיעלו על הזכרים, why do you know that's what it means? מאי משהו נהי שחוזות, זה זליש לגלויהו. תכתיב, והנה אישה לקרותו, שיט זונה נצורת להם.